Morning.
Morning.
How's everybody doing today? Good? Beautiful day today, huh? Yeah, it's nice out, enjoying the weather, doing our yard work, being outside. I'm going to start off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this another day, another morning that we wake up and enjoy the sunshine and that we can come to church, learn, edify, and grow in your word. Let your word resonate in our hearts and our minds so we can go out and promote these things that we're learning. Let the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Let us see things that we haven't seen today, and let us just learn and grow and edify and sharpen each other, and all in your name and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, last time I taught, we were doing terms, and I'm going to proceed in doing terms. So the last things we went over, oh, and also I hear Pastor Kurt isn't doing so good, so we want to keep him in prayer that he's feeling better. And I want to give a shout out to Pastor Paul Belbach in Wisconsin. He told me to give him a shout out, so I'm giving you guys a shout out there. And they're in Shawano and Bowler, Wisconsin. So all the Saints out there, everybody out there, giving you a shout out from the south side, south suburbs of Chicago. So, last time, the last terms I went over was forgiveness, justification, salvation, forbearance, and sanctification. Forgiveness, we know that we're forgiven of all our sins. We'll just kind of go over these, what we went over. Forgiven of all our sins, and past, present, and future, and justified, we're just with the Lord. The Lord sees us as just, and salvation, that we're saved indefinitely. Like, once you're saved, you're going to be saved. You know, it's the first thing in your walk of as a Christian, and that you can't lose your salvation, and that the Lord has saved you from the wrath that we don't want to be part of. Forbearance, that we're to forbear each other as he forbears us, because, you know, the Lord is probably gets tired of us at times, and we get tired of each other, and we want to forbear each other. And sanctification, that I learned just a few things last myself, just by going over them, and from the body of Christ, you know, people edifying me, that, you know, you, two types of sanctification, you know, positional and then the walk through, you know, so in your walk. So we went over those. So today we're going to go over righteousness. It's going to be our first one. So let's go to Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. We're going to see where righteousness, where we get this. So righteousness is the state of being. It's the state of being in the right or being vindicated, to be morally right or justifiable. We know our righteousness is as dirty rags, and it's God's righteousness that is important. So Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So he was saying, we all know that Noah and his family were the only ones that were saved in his time with the flood. So he's seen Noah as righteous. All right. We're seeing that. I think that was the first time that the Lord mentioned righteous. And we're going to Genesis chapter 15. And kind of bounce around real quick and kind of see. So we see Noah was righteous to the Lord. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. There we go. And speaking of Abraham, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So we know that you, when you believe what the Lord says, he'll see you as righteous. And so now, we're going to go to Romans chapter 3. So we kind of just went over that to see some verses, to kind of see for ourselves, because Romans quotes Genesis chapter 15. Because if you see that throughout all the Bible, the Lord himself quotes scripture, Paul quotes scripture. This is the part of the pattern that we want to be part of, quoting scripture and knowing where it's at in scripture. Romans chapter 3. And if you haven't read Romans, it's a book you want to start reading so you can get these doctrinal truths and be grounded in these truths that that are here. So, as we all know, we are naturally unrighteous. This is our natural state. We are unrighteous in the eyes of the Lord when, until you become saved. But in as you see in verse 10 of chapter 3, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. For there is none that doeth good, no, not one. So God is saying here, hey, there is nobody righteous. There's nobody that does good. And if you've seen in the previous verses, previous chapter, that God points out the moralizer, the immoralizers, and the religious man. He points out all three and says, oh, well, You all three of you guys are no good until you've, when you read on the Romans, you see how you're justified. And that, we know a lot of people who are moralizers who tell you that, I know people who tell me they never sinned, or they don't sin, or they're not bad, or nothing. And we know that we're born sinners. We're born out of the, God sees us as an enemy. When we are separated from God spiritually because of Adam, and he sees you as an enemy. Now, a lot of people, to them, that's crazy talk, or that they've never heard of that, but that's really what it is. That's why we have to be step in. That's why we have to believe the gospel that we believe, because then the Lord, and you'll see these terms, two terms that are going to come after this, is that so basically the Lord sees us right here, that there's none that doeth good. Okay, so there's none that doeth good. So let's go move forward to, so now we've seen that in Romans chapter 1 verse 3, that it shows how man is needs something, that they're so bad and they need something, right? So verse 21 here in chapter 3 of Romans, but now, so that word is this, you know, that something different is happening. We know that. So it's a dispensational change there. So, but now. And it, there was a huge separation there of God and man, and how God is and how man is before that, but now. So if you see verse 20 and verse 21, huge, huge separation. You know, in verse 19 there, it says that the world may become guilty before God. All of the world is, we're all unrighteous and guilty. We've got to know that. You know, a lot of people don't want to take that. They think, oh, I do nice things and I do good things, but that's not what the Lord is looking for. That's a righteousness that's not of God. That's of yourself. And but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So without the law, even the righteousness, verse 22, of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. So it's the faith of Jesus Christ unto all, everyone, and upon all, which everyone, to them that believe. For there is no difference. So when you believe, what God says in whatever dispensation he sees you as righteous. It's what we believe, and it's what we believe. It's not what we're doing or what we think. It's what we believe what God says. And so, and this is just kind of going over it. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we've all sinned and come short. Everyone, every single person that ever lived, everyone on TV, they're all sinners and they all come short and they all need a Savior. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And we read these last time, but we're just going to be going over these all, you know, over and over, because this is very important doctrine that us as the body of Christ should be going over and over, because it's so important to know these chapters in Romans. Whom God had set grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins, the taking away of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. There goes the words again, that forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. There goes that believing again. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. As we know, the law can never save you. It just kind of gave you the knowledge of sin and showed you that you needed something, but it never really gave you that solid salvation, never saved you for anything. It's what God has said in that dispensation, and what you believe what he has said. So, just like Job asked, how should a man be just with God? That's a question that every man should ask. How do I become right with God? Job asked that in his times of tribulation, you know, there in Job chapter 9. But let's go to Romans chapter 4 in verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So the believing, so there's that believing again on what God says. And verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. See, God is the one who does the imputing, and we might get into that word today, but God is the one that puts the righteousness on us, and he's the one that sees us as right. He's doing all the work. You know, we just believe, and he's putting that, he's starting to see us as righteous. Alright, verse 20, in chapter 4, verse 22, I wanted to see this one. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. It goes that again. And in verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. See, the Lord did this for us. That was our... We were supposed to die that death. And he did this for us because he loves us, obviously, but... We deserve everything we had coming to us, and that's what grace is, unmerited favor. He showed grace to us when we didn't need it, even until today. But that's why we needed that perpetual, we needed the Lord's blood, you know, his sacrifice for us, because as we'll see in here in a bit, that the blood of goats and calves couldn't do it. That was just a... You know, those are all types, but we needed the Lord Jesus Christ, and with everything, his blood was, you know, his sacrifice was sufficient, and we needed that, and that saves past, present, and future sins, and that saves us from what we had coming to us, and that's something to be appreciative of. All right, now hopefully we got a little bit on kind of get righteousness. So So I'm going to go to the next one, which is reconciliation. So we know that the Lord imputes right, the imputes the righteousness on us. We're not righteous, so we have reconciliation. Reconciliation is when, and these definitions are kind of like regular definitions of it, and then I kind of try to tie them into what the Lord says. You know what I mean? So how the Lord, it ties in with the Lord. But reconciliation, when two parties have come together and made peace with each other, when before they were hostile and enemies with each other, God and us. And now we are at favor with God, receiving atonement, which is like amends for our wrongdoing, by Christ and in a renewed friendship. So, and yeah, that's when two parties kind of had a fallout and then we come together. But the Lord never, the Lord never did nothing to us. It's us that did something to him. And he, out of his grace, says, okay, I'm going to take you back, reconcile you. We're going to be friends again and we're going to be together again. And he, and there's a few things that he has reconciled. Let's go to Colossians. I always like go back to, I like going back to Colossians now because we went over it. And now, you know, I could, I'm like, yeah, I'm a little better at Colossians. So it's always good to go back because, you know, it's just good for me. I appreciate that. But Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. So he had made peace with us. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. So he's bringing all things together to himself. I say whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. So the heavenly things, earthly things. He's bringing it all to himself. In verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies. See, God seen us as enemies. I mean, imagine people that you don't like and you kind of see them as an enemy and they just like make you want to grind your teeth and you're just like, ugh. You know, that God see, we were literal enemies with the Creator himself. And in our mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. And in verse 22, this is how we're reconciled. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You see, when he is, now that he has reconciled us, he sees us as holy now. He sees us, he sees the Lord. And when he sees us, he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't see that, you know, the sin nature that we have, and that he doesn't see all the sin that we're, he doesn't see that. He sees us, and to present you, he presents us holy and unblameable. That's, I mean, I know we still sin at times, and that's why we need the Lord, but this is the Bible, you know, this is God's Word saying this, you know, and this is something that's special. It's a special thing to be part of, you know, when you're saved and you're part of the body of Christ and the Lord sees you holy and without blemish, and that we are, and we always talked about this, is that we're identified in Christ. Death, burial, resurrection, right? We're fellow heirs, you know. So it's a very humbling, when you really understand it, it's very humbling to be like, okay, well, I'm part of this, and we'll see in a bit that what we should be doing with the, because we're part of this. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And remember, Ephesians and Colossians are sister books. So what you get out of Colossians, you can get out of Ephesians. It's like the height of the mystery and what we have as the body. You know, it's like we're seeing from, it's like seeing from heaven. Like, we're, it's got our heavenly positions and everything, so Ephesians and Colossians are like the highlights of the Christians, what we have. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Now, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. And at that time you were without Christ. We were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So I wanted to say that real quick, that Israel and the Gentiles were two separate. So back then, it was not how it is today. Like, you literally, if you weren't part of Israel's program, you were nothing. You were part of, without God, without hope. You had to be a proselyte Jew. You had to be under that religious system of Israel to be saved back then. And then do all those laws, and then do all these things that the Lord required of you. So that's what this is saying. But now, see, there goes that phrase again. That's a dispensational change. But now, in Christ Jesus, yeah, verse 13. In Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We've been made close now to the blood, by the blood of Christ. Verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby. So he reconciled both Israel and Jews and Gentiles, and he made them, put them all in the one body. Now it's not the Jews who had the spot. They were the head, you know, and that's they were the ones you had to go through for salvation. And now God has took that middle wall partition. He's knocked that wall down, and he said, no, we're all the same. We all have the same level in Christ. We all can come to Christ. We don't need to go to a father and have him pray for us. We don't have to do none of them things. We have a direct access to the Lord, and we're all the same in Jew and Gentile. There's no race above another race. There's no, you know, nation above another nation. There's just, this is what he's reconciled to himself.
I think the most important thing to remember in reconciliation is that it is two parties. So God, through Christ and his finished work, has put everybody in a position to be reconciled. But it takes that person, personal faith in that gospel, to be reconciled.
Right.
So just because he reconciled, he put everyone in a position to be reconciled. Not everyone's reconciled.
Right.
So it's talking to believers, Jews and believing Gentiles,
right, he's made it accessible. Yes. So if anybody wanted to go in that, yeah. So thanks for clarifying on that. Yeah, so you want to get into that reconciliation. You want to get into that, because this is the only way that the Lord is saving today.
Amen.
He's not saving any other way, through any other deity, through any other religion, or any other belief system. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ, and all these, and we're kind of going through these terms, and I kind of like, if you got something, you want to add something, you can, you know, raise your hand or tell me, or just let me know, because we're all learning here. So, and these terms are good to know, and I'm learning them as well, and they're just good to know, because when you're having a conversation with someone, and they're bringing up these terms, you're like, oh yeah, I know that term. You know, I don't see it all the time. And when we go over it, you know, they say repetition is what helps you learn. Repeat, repeat, repeat. A lot of people are like, I don't want to say it more than once or whatever. It's like, sometimes you got to repeat, because it's for learning, you know, repetition, so. And then let's go to Romans chapter 5, kind of solidify. Now we keep going to Romans because, again, Romans is a doctrinal book, so it's one of the, probably the book you need to read first so you can probably understand what the rest, so you can understand what the rest of Paul's epistles is, so you can have that grounded and understand the rest of Paul's epistles. And for anybody not just listening, Paul's epistles is through Romans through Philemon. That's our marching orders for today. Acts is a transitional book, so if you want to kind of see how the Paul was being raised up, you can read through Acts, and you'll see all the differences between the law and between, and Romans will show you the difference we just read. And first, the law is different from what's going on in grace today. So Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, see, we can never do things in our own strength, like to come to God. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, the ungodly, the unrighteous, wicked in our sins. For scarcely, for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. So what that's saying is, so let's just, peradventure, let's just say that a person, a good person, righteous, was died for another good person. Just, you know, in combat or in warfare or something, the person died for everyone. So that's a good thing. He's just saying, let's just, you know, dare to die for someone, okay? But as you'll see that in verse, we can go to verse 8. So now that you have that in your mind, that there's someone that would, you know, it'd be hard for someone die for another person, you know, like if you're like, all right, it's kind of like it can be a quick-minded thing, like you're in war or something, but it's, you know, so, but we'll see in verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Christ died for his enemies, his sinners, for sinners, for us. Imagine, I mean, would you die for a sinner? Would you die for someone? I mean, think about it, you know, in terms, like, God's ways are way higher than us, but, like, would you die for someone? Even would you die for someone that you love? Would you do that? Well, this is what the Lord did that for all sinners. For everyone that, you know, just like the Apostle Paul is our pattern. Apostle Paul was doing big sins, man, chief of sinners, and he decided to pick that guy to be the role model and the pattern for today. So, you think about it, it's like, the Lord knew what he was doing in his infinite wisdom. He knew that he needed a guy like that to represent what's for us today, because the guy like that is represents Gentiles and how things, just on how people, you know, all these, you know, he was jailing and killing Christian believers at the time, you know, so he was doing things that you would think is, why would God pick him? You know, why would the Lord pick him? Well, the Lord knew what he was doing, and it was a perfect pattern for today. And where am I at? So, yeah, basically, I just, you know, it takes a lot of love to die for someone wicked. But yet, God loved us that much. God's love is unexplainable. It's incomprehensible. You know, these are things we can't even comprehend. God was wronged, and then he built a bridge of reconciliation by which man can have a righteous standing, and that he can have eternal relationship with him. He built that bridge, and like how Ray was saying, that he got it open. You just have to step into that and want and believe, you know. So And Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We receive the amends. We've been reconciled. And we've seen that we were powerless to please God. So, powerless. Couldn't do anything that we can do. Can reconcile ourselves. And let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here we're going to wrap up reconciliation. So we had went through righteousness. Now we're in reconciliation. And because we don't have all the answers, you know, I pray that this will get you to be like, okay, did he, like if I miss something, I would hope that you would, it would help you be like, man, he missed that. So it would get you thinking and get you going, you know, and get you wanting to learn more about these terms, because I'm sure there's a lot that I'm missing, but that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, and it'll help us grow and help us learn these things and want to learn it, because that's what you want to be part of these things here and at home. So... But this is, this chapter, we all know, but for those that are not, for those that are just listening, that this is the ministry of reconciliation. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this, this is our marching orders for today. This is our commission. This is something that the Lord has established for today. It's not in Acts 2, it's not in other books, it's in this one. This is it. This is what is called the ministry of reconciliation. So, verse 14 in chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. See, God wants us to live for him. Not just for ourselves. He wants us to live and do what he... Just to live for him. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to not unto ourselves. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. We don't see Christ as his earthly ministry. Christ is in his... It's sitting at the right hand of the Father. We know him after ascended. So we don't know him after the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us a ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath not committed unto us the word of reconciliation, Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, and we pray, you in Christ's deed, be ye reconciled to God. Ambassadors. So, that ministry of reconciliation is ambassadorship. We represent the Lord, and we want to help others be reconciled in the Lord. We want them to find these beautiful truths that we... That we believe in and live by, because like I said, I am a good testimony to where when I try to apply these truths that my life has never been better. So I'm grateful for that. I never felt more at peace. I never felt more at rest. I've never felt more assured. I never felt more just all around. Because I, you know, as humans and as, you know, people, it's, we sometimes we kind of get stray off and we go to depression and all that. But I know that every time I get into the Word and every time I renew myself and read and let myself know that these are just trials and tribulations that I can overcome in Christ, and that this isn't our heaven, this isn't our home. We have a heavenly home. And if you, and there's a law on servicing others. So the Lord knew this, but with the ministry of reconciliation, serving others to try and come to be saved and being ambassadors. But even in throughout the world, I mean, that's what capitalism is, serving others. That's what, you feel better when you serve others and help others. So you get out of your own head and you want to help others and be there for each other. If like, because people have problems, you know, like my cousin just moved this week, and it was made easy through another cousin of mine that we were just there for him and helped him. And it could have been way harder for him. We would have spent more money, but we had each other to serve each other and be like, okay, well, I got you. I'll help you. So, and then we got to throw a little bit of God's word in there. So there's always those little things that you can just throw, you know, and you can just promote the Lord, and at the same time helping, because every little thing counts. Everything you do counts. A lot of people think that, oh, you know, that's just a little thing, that doesn't count that much. No, everything you do counts. It's don't sell anything short. Like, make the most out of your time and when you're with each other, because you never know what might happen. A loved one might not be around tomorrow, you know. And every little thing counts, that you serve each other and try to help each other, and at the same time you're throwing God's word in there. And because you'd be surprised that some of the people that you're hanging out with, that they're not saved, you know. And I think there are some people that I know that I hang out with that are not saved, and they might think they are, but I don't. Sometimes I don't know. God knows the heart, so God knows if someone's saved or not. But we want to do what God wants us to do, and that's this ministry of reconciliation. So to try to bring others into the body of Christ. Okay. So now we went through righteousness, reconciliation, and then we're going to go into redemption. Redemption. So this definition of redemption is the buying of land, slaves, and other things that are previously belonged to the purchaser. It is a transaction involving the release of an item for payment. Christ is our Redeemer from the bondage of sin. So, redemption, and we know that's one of the main titles, a main title of Christ, is He's our Redeemer. He's took us out of that slave market. And, got 10 minutes, but we can just go through this. And I'll just talk about it in Exodus. You know, the Israel, when he redeemed Israel out of the hands of Pharaoh. And Christ purchased us with his precious blood, then set us free. He is our Redeemer, and by the cross has set us free. And, let's see. and we don't have to go through it, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, God bought us from the slave market and now is our rightful owner. So he's redeemed us, took us out of that slave market, and now he owns us and he wants us to live for him. And it's not like an owner like he's being evil toward us or nothing. It's basically, I mean, if somebody saved you out of that peril, wouldn't you feel indebted to one of, if they did it in a righteous way and did it for so you could be set free? I mean, I would want to serve him too, because he took you out of that path that we were headed, which is the lake of fire. In Galatians chapter 3:13, he says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. The curse of the law was death, condemnation, and wrath. We are never again to be put up for sale in that slave market. So he's took us out of that, and never again will you be part of that. Never again. So he's extracted and bought us, took us out of that market, and he had us for a ransom. Titus 2:14 says, God gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And then Romans chapter 3, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that was in Christ Jesus. Let's go to Colossians, back to Colossians chapter 1. And our redemption came at a great cost. Great cost. God, the Lord, he could have easily not died on the cross. He could have easily had his angels be like, you know what, I don't need to go through this, you know. He could have easily had, you know, did whatever he wanted. But he had a plan. And he had a plan for salvation for you and me. And he went through it. He had a definite plan. And he stuck to it. As we should, you know, we should have a plan too in our life, you know. In Christ, he suffered a death that was ours to suffer, and sin is like a heavy chain around our necks. Sin is just a heavy chain around our necks. And have you put your trust in Christ the Redeemer today? Have you put your trust in him today? Because he is our Redeemer. He is who he says he is. God's word has stood the test of time. When you read it, it's got these proofs that did just that you can't argue with it. If you really want to have a logical conversation about the Bible and its authenticity, you can't argue with it. Like it's got so many things that are in nature and science. It's just it's constant. But in Colossians chapter 1, I wanted to go to verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we know that we're redeemed of our sins. In chapter 2, verse 13 in Colossians. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together, made alive with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So that's another plain English thing there. Plain English, there's no, for anybody, he's forgiven you all trespasses, all of them, every single one, all sins. That's as plain can be. So there's no going against that. And kind of wanted to go over and the Passover, and I don't think I'm going to get into the rest of these verses, but the Passover is a as we know that the Old Testament is full of types of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Passover is one of them, and the Passover is a type of the redeeming of him being our redeemer. I can't even find these. I got so many papers here. So Israel was in Egypt and they were slaves. So in ours, we were slaves to sin. And that's, so Israel was in Egypt, were slaves, and Pharaoh, he kept them in bonds. And who keeps us in bonds, tries to keep us in bonds? Satan tries to keep us in bonds. And and Israel cannot free themselves from their hard bondage. And what did they do? And when the angel was coming, when they were going to, he told Pharaoh that he was going to kill all the firstborn. They put the blood on the posts, and that then they escaped judgment from that. And us today, we have the blood of Christ, and when we're in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14 or 13, that we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, and that once you become saved and you're cleansed with the blood of Christ, you escape the judgment as well. So what I wanted to say is, so we went through righteousness, reconciliation, and redemption. So does anybody have any comments, anything about it, anything I missed, anything?
The Passover is a good example, because they had to put the blood on their own doorposts. So it's like the reconciliation today. You have to personally trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to apply that blood personally.
Yeah.
The Passover, they didn't run around into their neighbors and strike the blood on their door. Well, it's gonna That didn't work like that. You were all in the door.
Right.
Individual.
And you,
once the blood was applied, it had nothing to do with their faith when they were in those houses. Mm-hmm. Some of them were probably scared.
Yep.
Some of them probably lacked a little bit. Oh, is this gonna happen? No. Look, when the passage says, when I see the blood, for you. Same thing with us. You may have doubts and so forth.
Amen.
I see the blood.
Amen. Yeah. So, anybody listening out there today, you want to be identified in that blood. You want the Lord to see the blood on you, to see Christ in you, because there is a wrath that is to come, and we want to escape that wrath. If you're not saved today, I would look up 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. I only repeat that just for the people that haven't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Redemption is used in another sense also. We're sealed into the day of redemption, which is the redemption of the body, that's including aspect of our being bought back. That's using
a slightly different. In Ephesians chapter 1? Yeah, I was going to get into that, but the purchased.
All these Bible words are, some of them have technical meanings, but redemption, salvation, and some of them have to be understood in the context in which they're
used. Well, all right. Go ahead.
You mentioned righteousness. The good passage is the passage in Romans 5:21. It says, grace reigns through righteousness. So God's righteousness being set aside has allowed grace to reign today.
Nice. Amen. All right. Anybody else? All right. Well, close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your book. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your promises. your faithfulness, your righteousness, what you've done on the cross, all the work you've done for us. Let us recognize that. And let us want to live for you. And let us grow in these truths. And let us understand these truths and share them in that ministry of reconciliation. And let all the glory be to you. Let all of it, let us just be the vessel to promote this glory, and let it all be in your name and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.